Svarno Parshas Pinchas. So the Parsha begins that Pinchas, because of what he did with Kazbi and Zimri, so he is given the Bris Shalom and says, "Bikanoas kinasi bisocham, that you took my vengeance or were jealous for me, bisocham amongst them." So we had mentioned last week, the Svarno says it several times, that it was a kapara in Klal Yisrael that Pinchas did it in front of everybody and nobody stopped him. That's a kapara in Klal Yisrael, that they saw the Avera being done and they didn't stop the people doing the Avera. So the fact that they are killed and they don't stop Pinchas, that is a kapara on them. And again, so Pinchas is given the Bris Shalom that he's going to live a long time. And why is that called Shalom? So the Svarno says, because people wither away, because things don't mix together, the different parts of a person's anatomy and physicalness, that there's the air and there's this, whatever. You know, there's different parts of the world that eventually wear a person down, but if somehow they were made perfect, they would never wither away. So he had Bris Shalom, and he said he at least live till the time of Pelegish Begiva, minimally. I mean, have, of course, been Eliyahu HaNavi and live forever, but minimally till the time of Pelegish Begiva, because it says in Shoftim in Perek Chav Pasek Chav Ches that he was around then. Okay, now we have the dividing up of Eretz Shal. Here, the Svarno has a very unique Shita. So we know it's supposed to be L'Rav Tar Bes Nachlaso that Hashem gave the bigger people, meaning if there was more people, so they got a bigger nachla. There's a very famous machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban, what that means, and the Ramban, and the Svarno has a third shita. So Rashi says it means, Ralarav Talbas Nachlaso says, when Hashem divided up the nachla in Eretz Yisrael, the portions in Israel, depending on how many people were in your family. If you had a big family, you got a big portion. Small family, small portion. The Ramban disagrees. He says, absolutely not. Every shevet was given, let me back up a second. That means, according to Rashi, that if there was a shevet with twice as much as another shevet, let's say Shimon had a very small shevet, and there's another shevet, let's say Yehuda, it's much bigger. So Yehuda's portion is going to be double the size, because they have double the amount of people. That's Rashi's opinion. The Ramban says, absolutely not. Every shevet got exactly the same size portion. It was within their point. In other words, Eretz Yisrael was divided up amongst, in 12 equal shares, and amongst the share, so the people with a bigger family, they got a bigger portion in their share. So doesn't matter. Shimon got the exact same. Well, the different shvatim got the exact same size portion, and just according to Ramban, within that portion, that's where it was divided. If you had a bigger family, you got more; smaller family got less. But every shevet got the same amount of portion. So this Svarno is kind of in the middle. Svarno says, Mamash right in between, he says that the different parts of Israel are worth different amounts of money, right? So, according to the Svarno, if you had a bigger shevet, you got a cheaper piece of land, so it would be bigger. So it's like the Ramban, and everyone got the same piece of land, every shevet got the same amount of land, but everyone got the same quantity, they didn't get the same quality. So if you had a big shevet, you would get a lot of cheap land. So it'd be huge, and it's, let's say, I'll just make it dumb numbers. If each portion in Israel is worth $1 million, each shevet gets, so let's say, Israel, I'm just making a dumb number. Let's say Israel is worth in total $12 million. So every shevet, according to the Svarno, got $1 million. But if you had a big shevet, you got the cheap land, so you got a lot more space because you had a lot more people to fit. So you get a lot, it just was not great land. And if you had a small shevet, so then you got a small piece of land, but it was very expensive. So it equaled out in money, just didn't equal out in size. So what this leaves you with is a problem with Shimon. Because he's, it says Shimon was spread out amongst everybody. So the way the Svarno says it is because Shimon was so small, so there was no one piece of Israel that was so valuable more than everything else that it would make sense that he would get this area, and this is the super expensive area. I mean, maybe now today we do Shalem, it's like that. But anyway, there was no such place. So what he got was split out all over the place because there was no one little area that was all super expensive. So that's why he got split up over places. And mind you, mostly in Eretz Yehuda, which again was the more expensive place. Now, according to Rashi, everyone also, it was divided, however many people in your family, you know, you got a bigger portion, that meant it had to be worth that. If you got, like, another, it's not like this friend, if you got a very expensive piece of land. So then, you know, you were entitled to a certain amount per head, whereas that's not the way it worked according to the Sforno. It was the quantity of land you would get. That would be per head, but it would work out to be divided equally amongst the Shvatim in value. So in Rashi's world, the only way that this 12 Shvatim, it has nothing to do with how much Nachal you got. It's just that, you know, the fact that Yosef got a double portion, that doesn't mean his kids got more land, because every other one just got divided evenly. It meant that, whatever, for Degalim, for other things, but like, yeah, and according to Rashi, Yosef's Bechorah, that he had 2 Shvatim, didn't get him any more land, because it's all divided amongst, per person. But like the Sforno, it was divided, every person got land, but it had to work out financially that each Shevet got the same amount financially. Okay, then we have that Yehoshua is supposed to be appointed, and it says, Isha Sher Ruach Bo. So the Sforno explains it means he's roi lekabel or pnei melachayim. He's roi to hashras hashkina. That's what that meant. And menasa mehodcha alav means give him malchus. That means you should make him have a job of that shows he's a leader while you're still alive. Then we have the carbon tamid. So it says it's very interesting what it says. It says in the middle. What seems to be something that shouldn't have been in the middle. It says you should bring the carbon tamid, and then it says you'll bring the asiras ha'efa, okay, and for a mincha, and then it says in the middle of nowhere, olas tamid ha'asuya v'har Sinai, like historical fact, olas tamid brought in har Sinai, the reich nichoach yishal Hashem, it was a reich nichoach Hashem, and then next pasuk, bring the nesachim nitzkor v'isayin. What's the middle of nowhere there telling you? Usually Reich Nechalach comes at the end, like it does at the end of, after the Karvan Mincha. You know, the Karvan Tamid Shalbein Arbayim. Usually the Reich Nechalach Hashem is at the end. Here we have kind of the middle of the story. It says, bring the Kevis, bring the Menachos. By the way, this is the oldest Tamid brought at Har Sinai, which was the Reich Nechalach. And then it says, bring the Nesachim. So what's going on there? So the Sforno says, what it's telling you is, like the Sforno told us before, that Kodim Matan Torah, there was no need for Menachos and Nesachim. It was just L'Reach Nechoach immediately. And he told us after Chet Ha'egel, they needed Menachos, because they sinned, they needed Menachos and Nesachim to become L'Reach Nechoach L'Hashem, but even that was only for a Karban Sipor. Then after the Chet Ha'meraglim, they needed it even for a Karban Yachad. That's his unique Shita. So here, what he's saying is that it was, the Olas Tamid Asuya Bahar Sinai was without Nesachim, and the one afterwards, then it says, and bring Nesachim, because now we're post-Chet Ha'egel. That's what the Sforno says. Okay, in other words, that's what the historical thing is doing, that it used to be you didn't need Nesachim. Now you need Nesachim. That's why it stops the middle to tell you with all the stuff of Har Sinai didn't have Nesachim. This has the wine. Okay, the only thing that needs to be worked out a little bit is that it didn't, at least from what the Sforno told us before, it didn't have Menachos either. And here in the Pasuk, it sounds like there was Menachos and just added on was Nesachim. So in the Mefarshim I have here, the person who wrote this suggests that maybe it was a little gradation. At first they had nothing, no Menachos, no Nesachim. And then from Kabbalah Satorah to Chet Ha'egel, they had to bring Nesachim too. Why? I'm not sure. Menachos, rather. And then from Chet Ha'egel and on, they needed Menachos and Nesachim. I don't know. Not sure. But anyway, that's the general idea, though, that's why it's stopping with a historical pasuk, to tell you that beforehand we didn't used to need this. Now we need Nesachim. Okay, then we have Rosh Chodesh. So we bring a carbon on Rosh Chodesh. So the Sforno says that it was a minig that Rosh Chodesh was always a holiday. And he proves it from, you know, the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh, that we read when the next day is Rosh Chodesh. And it says there that they call that today is Yom HaMaisa as opposed to tomorrow. So tomorrow is not a Yom HaMaisa. That is, they didn't used to do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. That was their minig. So he says, what's the reason? Why is it such a holiday, Rosh Chodesh? So he explains that at Har Sinai, when we got Chayrus And God was charis al aluchos. We got charis. We were totally separate from the Sheba and Malchus. So that was great. But then we sinned at Chet Egel. And now that once we sinned, so we're always olol, you know, but it could always be attacked by them. Or lose. So we have to be doing Ratzon Hashem at all times, if not the natural state of events as they go and they can get us. So that's like the Areach. The moon does not have its own light. It only gets its light from others. So we get our light directly from Hashem. The point is that, you know, if we sin, we don't get the light from Hashem and we're destroyed. But that ends up being a bit of a chil Hashem, because we are Hashem's chosen people. So, and he says that's part of the idea of Bechol Tzarosim Lo Tzar. Every Tzara to us is a Tzara to Hashem. It's always the chil Hashem in that sense. So, when we bring a kapara on Rosh Chodesh, so that helps us, which minimizes, that then the chil Hashem is minimized because we do better. And in that way, so that's why it's holiday, first of all, because it says we bring this kapara, chuas nafsham miyad sone, it protects us. If that protects us, then that's the chil Hashem stops. So it becomes a holiday, and that's why Hashem says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aviyu alai kapara al shemiyat tiyas aruch. That's what it says, that the carbon on Rosh Chodesh is, bring on me a carbon because I made the Areach small here. That, so he's explaining that means that Klal Yisrael is the Areach of the moon, and he made us smaller. So we're bringing a kapara for him, on him, in other words, it'll help him in the sense that it won't be Chil Hashem anymore, because now we will do better than the Chil Hashem stops. So in that way it becomes a kapara, so to speak, on Hashem. But that's the idea why it became a holiday, because it's a big Yeshua for us and for the Rabbanu Shalom's covet as well.